Unlock the secrets of success and join the conversation that's fueling dreams and driving innovation on the ultimate business talk show in Rocket State. Wednesdays between 6 and 7 p.m. Only on KC 107.7.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of KC Soccer Karma with me, Noshat Khan, and
Connor Robertson.
Connor, we got something special on tonight.
Yeah, definitely. So today we're actually talking about building a team. And I think that that's probably one of the more exciting stuff that I've been teaching lately. And I'm quite excited to speak more about it.
So for those of you that forget that Connor Robertson is a certified trainer and skills trainer, and also the co-host of KC Soccer Karma. And from time to time, he brings some of those tips that he's teaching in class to us, which I'm sure benefits many, many entrepreneurs. And I think the team building is such an appropriate subject matter because we've got the government of national unity, and I'm sure there's lots of team building going on there, Connor.
For sure.
Every department's having one.
Yeah, for sure. I think they're having a lot of team building exercises. I'm pretty sure they have a hell of a lot of mediation sessions just to iron out all the issues. And I really think they're working 24/7 on it.
Yeah, such a diverse group of people. And finally, you're all together in the same WhatsApp group.
Yeah, for sure.
But first, when we come back, we will talk to Connor about what team building is all about. So stay tuned.
This is KC 107.7 FM.
And welcome back. Connor, we're talking team building. So what are the essential ingredients for team building, especially if you want to develop a strong team?
So I think the first thing you've got to realize is you've got to know yourself, because you're going to be the team leader. So I think the first thing you've got to pick up is your management or leadership style. And then you've got to find the personalities that fit that leadership or management style. Because often the issues in the workplace isn't a technical or expertise level issue. It's actually a personality issue.
And I'm talking small business now. I mean, you know, How do owners identify the right candidates to fit into their team? And what qualities should you look for?
So I think as a small business owner, or I mean in the experience that I've had, the biggest issue we always have is that the first thing you want to do is you always want to get the most experienced or the most technically gifted employee. But for small businesses, because you are basically in a team where, instead of in corporate where you had like one function, in a small business, you're just like the owner. You're carrying multiple caps. So I feel like instead of going for the best in class, you should go for somebody who's actually looking to grow with you.
That's an interesting way to think of it. I mean, I'd always look at the best quality or the best. But I guess if you want the team player to stick it out with you, your approach might just be the right way to do it.
Yeah, look, I mean, the problem with the best in class, it's like football. You've got to have a balance, and you can't just have superstars everywhere. If you've got superstars everywhere, who's going to be the one carrying the ball? Who's going to be the one passing the ball? And small business, you've got the same issue. If you've got too many superstars, you don't have hard workers. And then when you really need the hard workers, then you've got issues. Because especially with some of the employees that are coming from a corporate background, they're not used to that small business background of having many responsibilities. See, corporate, you have one responsibility, and then it's a massive responsibility, but it's just singular. In small businesses, you're literally the administrator in your department. You're the administrator, you're HR, you are team leader, and you're also contacting clients permanently.
You know, all of that boils down to communication. And as a small business, you, the communications officer as well. So what advice would you give for a small business to improve communication among team members?
I think it's all about being open. Like it's almost to a point of where you're overly open, but I think overly communicating with your staff is probably one of the best things you can do, because then nobody feels like they don't know what's going on. So what I usually do is I usually overly communicate to my staff. So I always check in. Number one, is everything okay? Number two, they need to know that they can come to you. And it's not just the situation where, you know, sometimes by the office fridge or whatever, there's like the door is always open, but it's about actually having an open door. Like you can't just tell people you've got an open door. They've physically got to see that they can come to you about anything. And I feel like that's something that's missing, because in business nowadays, we talk about a team being a family, but there isn't a hell of a lot of family involved in it nowadays. I'm not sure if that sort of makes sense, but when it comes to leave and when you're handling all these HR and labor relations issues, the whole concept of family sort of leaves it. So I think the most important thing is to be overly communicative and actually be open to having those difficult and tough conversations.
Now, here's a challenge for small businesses. You know, the idea of running small businesses is lean and mean, and that boils down to resources. And then we come to human resources. You know, your best man for a particular role is just the one person. But now you have conflict in this in your environment. What would you recommend is the best way to deal constructively when you're trying to resolve conflict?
Okay, so conflict, usually you have two issues of conflict, and they usually are between two people. Now, I'm talking about not necessarily conflict between you and the employee. I'm talking about conflict between two employees. So when there's a conflict between two employees, you've actually almost got to facilitate the process without picking sides, because picking sides essentially creates an issue between you and that other party, which side you didn't choose, because now it becomes a thing of favoritism. So what I've always tried to do is I've always tried to involve an outside party that's completely outside of my business, whether this is a family member, whether this is an actual person that shares these sort of issues, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is just to get an outside person to hear both sides and then make a constructive comment or suggestion based on that. The idea here is to be involved and facilitate the process, but not choose sides. Because the minute you choose sides, it starts breaking down your working relationship with the person you didn't choose.
You know, the economy is tight at the moment. We all are under-resourced, both in the human side as well as financial, and we try and do the best we can. We operate under these limited, with the limited resources. I wanna try and understand, if you want to incentivize and motivate your staff, but you know, finance is not the easiest way for you to do it, what would be some of the recommendations you would say that one could do to incentivize staff and obviously keep that loyalty going?
So, I mean, one of the ways that we work is we actually give day offs, because at the end of the day, you want to incentivize performance, but at the end of the day, you also want to keep your guys fresh. So the one thing we can't necessarily always do is give, you know, like a bonus, or let's say somebody gets a client in, to give them a commission on that. We can't always give that, but we can actually reward them through time off. And I think that's actually a very underrated incentive, because I think it not only keeps the employee fresh, it also keeps them super happy and they feel like they're not constantly in that red place.
You're listening to KC Sarkakama with me, Noshat Khan, and Connor Robertson. Connor is a trained facilitator and a skills a trainer. And so today we're talking how to build a good team. We're going to go to some music and some ad breaks. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation, because I thought this is important now that we look that the country, the government has to build a new team. And so that's the reason I thought let's talk about this. But I'll be back with you shortly after this.
Unlock the secrets of success and join the conversation that's fueling dreams and driving innovation on the ultimate business talk show, Indra Kinsey, Wednesdays between 6 and 7 p.m. Only on KC 107.7.
And welcome back. Connor, you're still there with us?
Yeah, for sure. I'm still here.
Connor, you know, when we started the conversation, we said, imagine the government of national unity and the team building that's going on there. I mean, that scale must be absolutely a monster to deal with so many different... I mean, we've got 11 different manifestos trying to form a government and deliver on a promise that they all made. Did you ever get your head around what would you say to them on day one? If you were placed in front of these 11 different leaders and you now need to build this unified team to lead a country...
You know, it's like we said, I mean, the first thing you've got to do is conflict resolution, because these guys for about 6 months have been bad-mouthing each other for a large period of time, especially the ANC and the DA. So the first thing, like, I would look at is conflict resolution, because you've all got to get them behind one vision, one goal, the improvement and the betterment of South Africa. And the first thing you've got to do is you've got to get them to work together. Once you've got them to work together, you've almost got to get that team building side actually going. So it's first conflict resolution, then team building exercises.
Well, let's go back to the subject that we're talking about, is team building in a small business environment. What are some of the practical team building activities or exercises that small businesses can implement on a budget?
I mean, there's quite a few. I mean, I know a client of ours that we recently assisted, they have it as funny as it sounds, they've got like a Friday, they end work early on a Friday, and then they go to the bars or to a restaurant, and they literally just have a drink, coffee, whatever, and they just socialize and speak about the day, and then they close off. So there's simple things like that. There's simple things like taking your team for a cup of coffee. There's simple things like taking them for a dinner, and then the whole thing is just getting everybody on the same page. So I don't think you necessarily need to go and do bungee jumping and gin tastings and all of those crazy things. I think it's about actually getting the smaller things done. And I think if you do it more consistently, it's not as expensive.
Connor, you know, all businesses, small business, big business, you start that with the vision. This is what we're going to do. We're going to produce X. This is how it's going to be done. This is the cost, and that's what we're going to sell it at. And that's really the principles of business on a basic level. But when you come to smaller businesses, and this vision is the person running the business, and he most probably is the HR manager, and so many other things, how would you say that they should, how can they align all their team members to sort of stick in line with that, their end goal as well, or the vision that they have?
I think it's about a buy-in. Like anything with regards to a team, you always need a buy-in. Why is this team sticking with me? Why is this team working so hard? Now, yes, you get a salary, but that isn't necessarily a buy-in. So I usually like actually working with younger guys, because the buy-in would be stick with us, grow with us, and we will literally train you in-house. And we're growing together. So when I tell my staff, hey, listen, we're all going together, It's literally shown through what our employment plan is for the staff, and then where we envision them in the next 3 to 5 years, because those are things that we currently work on.
I want to look at this. This is becoming such a major part of how we operate these days. You know, some of us call it remote working. Some of us say online working. Some call it a virtual office. But ultimately, you're working without a human interface. You're working through technology. How do you manage to keep a team or the morale of that team alive when you're not really, you know, in touch with each other?
So I think the whole idea of remote working, that's something that's so incredible. But I don't necessarily think it should be 100% remote working, because there has to be a human interface. There has to. So what we do is we usually do a 2-day split. So 3 days at the office, 2 days it's working remotely. And we do that so that obviously the team that's working together is constantly in physical and remote contact with each other. And I think it's, I mean, we're human beings. So I mean, like I said, I am an over-communicator. Not all of myself are over-communicators. But I think that removing that personal touch is something that small businesses or corporations as a whole should not move away from.
So we make mistakes. Big business, small business, we all make mistakes. And, you know, it could be various things. What is it that small business owners can make when trying to build a team? What are some of the mistakes they do make? And then how would you say they could avoid them? Let's look at the common things.
Yeah, okay. So maybe the most common thing is that we don't employ personality. So often, so for example, I'm a very strong personality business owner. So if I employ somebody with a strong personality as well, there's bound to be conflict. So I think a lot of the time what small businesses do is they sort of employ people who are more like them, and that doesn't always work. So that would be the first thing I would look to avoid. Often, I mean, in a small business, often what happens is you've worked in a corporate industry or you've worked in other industries before, and you made a promise to yourself that when you found someone similar to you, that you would give them that opportunity. Oftentimes that we forget that the younger version of Connor was a different Connor. He was headstrong. He wasn't listening. He literally played to his own drums, and that becomes problematic. So the idea here is to find people that can work with you, because oftentimes we're too busy trying to find other people like us, and that can be a bit of a problematic issue.
We're talking team building in especially small businesses. Connor, you work with so many of these people. Can you share some of the success stories, you know, where business got it right, and how did that lead to their success?
So recently we worked with a company that had that did training with us for middle level management. And basically what happened here was the middle level management was top of their class employees. And oftentimes what happens is these guys don't necessarily get promoted, because if you're the best at what you do, then replacing you becomes a bigger mission than promoting you. So usually a corporate company wouldn't promote the best in class. But these guys were promoted to management, and the problem they had was they were a do-it-themselves. They were a DIY manager. And what we sort of came in is teaching them how to facilitate how management should be done. And management should always be done in a form of facilitation, not hands-on doing it yourself. Like, you're supposed to facilitate the process. And what we found in their teams was they were taking on 50% of their team's work, and the team was basically being underutilized. And after the training and everything, that ceased to happen, and the performance and the productivity of the team actually improved. And honestly, probably one of the best teams that I have worked with in recent years.
I must say, good communication, putting the right people in place. A classic example is the Springbok team.
Definitely. 100%.
You know, if anything, we enjoy the rugby, we watch them play. But I think sometimes step back and look, that is a team. The right people get onto the field at the right time to do their thing, and they do it well. And so we can all learn from something like that.
But we can also look at, if you look at the documentaries that they've published and everything, if you look at it, I mean, Rassie as a whole, he's an absolute boffin, but he's gotten all of those guys to buy in. And it's so difficult to get 23 people who are vying for 15 spots all to buy in. And I think if I look at the way he manages people and he communicates to people, it is absolutely incredible.
So that's a wrap for tonight. Connor, next week, hopefully we're going to have you in studio.
Definitely, definitely.
I look forward to that. Until next week, same time, same place. It's me, Naushad Khan, and
Connor Robertson.
Saying cheers.
Your sound of the Winelands, KC 107.7.